Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. Everybody knows that. I want to welcome you today. I have a very special guest on this day when much of the world is in chaos, and I've already told them that this was perfect timing, but everything is perfect timing. It's all divine order. If you start to look at things that way, you'll have a better life. You really will. But anyways, my magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com, tomorrow I will start sending out all of the reminders to the people. You know, sometimes, I mean, I have featured writers and they just send the stuff in anyways. They know the date. I have a man from China who sends all of his poetry way ahead of time, which I love. And so, but I'll be doing that tomorrow, and then I won't start on the issue until, I don't know, about 3 days before it goes live, which would be on the 1st. That's probably what I'll do. It depends upon how big it is. And also StarsWithAZPsychics.com. You know, everybody knows about that site. This is a difficult time, a very difficult time. And, you know, a site like that one is, you know, it's not going to put food on your table, but maybe it'll be able to answer some of your questions, like, you know, how is my work sector, things like that that can just encourage you. Somebody told me that I should go on the site, but I don't want to take from all my staff. I really, really don't, because I know I would get a lot. I love people. I love helping people. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in this guest of mine that I'm just so honored that he chose to come on the site. I was very, very fortunate. His name is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. How are you today, Gabriel?
I'm really good, good, and I'm very happy to be talking to you now. Very good.
Now, the big thing about him is that he is in Jerusalem. And we did a little talking before this, and I told him my feelings about that. And the thing of it is that, you know, I have an affinity to it, and there he is, and here he is on my show. And you know, everything is going a little haywire right now, but you mustn't despair. And I'm just going to give you my little talk about that. Don't despair. Things will improve. Just keep your feet planted on the ground and know that all of this is in the plan. And he's probably going to agree with me. I mean, I'm going to ask him all kinds of questions, but he's just this super spiritual man. And anyways, Gabriel, and I'm going to call you Gabriel if that's okay with you, of course, right?
It's fine.
Okay. Let's start. I mean, he's done so much. I mean, I can go through the list, and I think we're going to end up talking about it. You have an MD degree from Columbia Medical School. You did your psychiatry residence in 1973. I mean, you can hear the background from this gentleman that it's you're a doctor of divinity. Your awareness is so high and so well. I mean, I'm probably sitting up on a cloud right now because I have a very special man on the show today. So anyways, let's go back to the very beginning, Gabriel. How did you get into all of this? I mean, yes, you were born, you grew up as a little boy, and you just told me you were from Chicago. How did you end up where you are today? Start at the beginning.
Let me start actually at the beginning, which is I always do a prayer before we start.
Perfect.
Which is merging
perfect.
The, the heavens and earth and the heart and the mind. That's how I started. Mishenye kud kudashabrihu ushinate bi ilo ertinu vayhe chamike vokhe biyadashlam shem kozriel kolam. Amen. Feel the merging of your heart and mind. Feel your oneness. And so, how did I start? Well, I was born in Chicago, and at the age of one, or in my first year, I had TB. Well, that's 1943. They didn't have a cure for TB. And my mother and father elected to keep me at home because they felt it would be sure death if I was sent to a sanatorium. And I was in bed for a year. And at the same time, my older brother was suffering from rheumatic heart disease and kidney disease, all of which is pre-antibiotic, so to speak, for what treatment. So my first entrance was the experience of the threat of death.
Yeah.
And it took me until I was 33. That was a mystery. What's the mystery of this? And I spent, again, until I was 33, until it got clear what the mystery of death was about, which is there is no death for the self. There's only death for the physical body, that we are immortal. And that's the key for understanding today. If we really, you know, want to be at peace today, there's only one place to put our attention, which is on the heart of God. And that means a soul connection with the divine. So when we focus on God, rather than fear, terror, and all the things that they're trying to do, it puts us right back in the center of the truth. And in that place, we're at really deep peace. And that's what I kind of discovered when I was one, very early age.
Well, you were very intelligent as a young boy. So when did you leave Chicago? Carry on. I mean, I'm just sitting here on the edge of my seat.
So I grew up in Chicago. We moved to the suburbs, a place called Highland Park, not too far from Michigan. And I had a pretty normal, let's say, childhood, normal, relatively speaking. I had good scores. I built a heart-lung machine that won the state science fair, and also faced the fact that my brother, when I was 16, was killed in a car accident, and he and I were very close. So that brought me right face-to-face with death again. I am asking the question, what is this about? It wasn't exactly letting me go. Then I went to a place called Amherst College. I was very well academically. I was the captain of an undefeated Amherst College football team, National Football Hall of Fame, and continued to do research on the side, and then eventually went to Columbia Medical School. So that just kind of unfolded in a pretty easy way. My father died when I was 21, and my mother when I was 33. And that was a turning point. And I was very close with my mother and father. I was very blessed to have parents that really loved me right from the beginning, besides the worry about the TB. So it was a blessing. That's probably the greatest gift a parent can give to their children, is that they feel really loved. Because the thing that's lacking today, why people act the way they do, is often connected to very low self-esteem, as well as not having that connection to God. If you don't have that connection to God, you have low self-esteem.
You're
going to
be lost.
To yourself. Absolutely. So those are like really key parts of my development in that way. So that kind of gives you a little bit of insight into the kind of bigger picture of how it unfolded. A lot of things between that and where we are now, but that was the phase one.
So how did you end up going to where you are right now?
Okay,
was that a
so,
desire, something you wanted to do? You know what I'm saying? How did you get to live where you are?
So we'll kind of start back a little bit. So when
yes.
I was 4 years old, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. Trouble is I didn't know what a doctor was. Nobody in my family had been a doctor. Although my father was a lawyer and my mother was a psychologist, but the fact is no one in my family, heritages on both sides, were in the medical field. But somehow, age of four. And then I just proceeded. It's like God spoke. I knew this inner voice was directing me. And what I learned in my life, and kind of two principles, I always listen to that divine voice. Of course, you have to make sure it's the divine voice. That's pretty important. And that whatever opportunity, whatever was happening in my life, whether it was TV or my brother dying or whatever, my father dying, that was always going to be for my upliftment. I just had to figure out how and why that was the case. So whatever event is happening to us, it really is God's grace. It just sometimes it doesn't look like that or feel like that.
Right.
Just like what's happening in the world today, this is a wonderful time to choose God. It's like really putting people's feet to the fire and think, oh, well, what are you going to choose here? And that is key, because if you choose God, then the fear goes away, the peace is there, and you have that inner connection as well as the outer connection to the God within as well as the God without. And that is the key. So we have choices that we make at every kind of nodal point in our life. Now, that's the predominant, and that was really the answer. At age 33, the answer came to me, there is no death for the self. We are immortal. And if we see ourselves in that way, and we see, yeah, there are many past lives, there are all these things happen, there's a continuum. What's the purpose of the continuum? To know God. We're just not mindlessly incarnating. The purpose is to know God. And each incarnation brings us ever closer to that awareness. So after some of these insights, I began to meditate a lot. Actually, I began to meditate after my brother's death when I was 16. And I was meditating up to 6 hours a day for about 7 years. And chanting and focusing on God. In the meantime, I'm having a family and different things are happening. But my focus is always on God. And that's the key in my book, Into the Nothing. Because at some point along the way, as you go deeper in meditation, you as a body or as a physical consciousness really dissolves into the nothing. And we have that direct experience. And that's what began to happen to me pretty much starting at the age of 33. And the more I meditated from 33 to 40 was very intense, as I said, 6 hours a day for 7 years. The more I got to have this deeper experience of the truth. And then, second point, always listen. So that was, and after that, I did a 40-day fast in 1983. And a voice rang out and said, well, now you have to go to your roots. So that took me in another part of the journey. At the same time, I developed a holistic medical practice. And I see people now. I've seen people from 128 different nations, see people all over the world. Now, at this point, it's over the internet with Zoom because you can't go too much far. Now, in 1967, for my honeymoon, we went to Israel. That was the first time. And I had some very powerful experiences. And then I've been teaching in Israel 2 to 3 times a year, running spiritual fasting retreats, which I'm still running. And if people want to find out about it, they can just go to drcousins.com. We have a spiritual fast coming in October. And I've been doing that for years. So I was coming 2 to 3 times a year for that, doing different teaching, and kind of getting more and more interested in coming here, moving here. But it wasn't the time. There's always a timing factor in this. That's what makes a difference. But I was having these different experiences. Stepping up in 2007. So what I did is that I meditated in a cave in the desert, not exactly in the cave, it was a half cave because it was mostly in the sun, in a desert kind of on a cliff overlooking the Dead Sea. And for 3 days without food and water, which is a very interesting thing to do in the desert because people die within the day, they can get dehydrated. But I'm used to fasting, so it wasn't that hard. So without food and water, and I had a very important, I'm going to say vision, but I'm going to say an appearance of Abraham.
Yep.
And he spoke to me. Well, he actually didn't speak. He transmitted two things: spiritual love, the power, a deeper power of spiritual love, and also the spiritual warriorship, which is particularly important in today's world. So I had a direct experience of the prime activator of my lineage. So that was really, really powerful. And to have somebody literally materialize in front of you for about 30 seconds. It's not like we hung out together in my cave, okay? But it was communicated. So there was what we call a transmission of soul energy. It's called inter-inclusion. It's something that actually does happen to part. So it's like a part of his soul came into me. So it was a very, very powerful initiation. So all that kept bringing me closer and closer. And finally, December 1st, we decided it was time to make the big move to do that. And again, coming here twice a year, and we build up a lot of friends and people here. So it wasn't it was a big move. It is a big move. But it was something that I've been working on since 1967. So that kind of gives you an overview of that. In the meantime, I did the holistic medicine around the world, running fasting, spiritual fasting retreats, special retreats to kind of what I call yoga of the mind, called Zero Point. We do conscious eating workshops to empower people at all levels. I also teach, I've written 13 books, so I have a book called Conscious Parenting. Kind of lay out the whole thing about being a conscious parent, of course, grandparent at this stage as well. And so those are all things that are part of what I do. And as also a trained family therapist, I see things in systems of how people work. So I apply all those skills. I also do a lot of humanitarian work. We have programs in Africa, 5 different countries in Africa, in South America, Central America, Native Americans in the U.S., mostly diabetes prevention. I do a lot of work with curing diabetes naturally. We have a book on it. There is a cure for diabetes, and it's natural, no medications. And in 3 weeks, when we do our diabetes retreats, in 3 weeks, 61% of the people are healed, meaning off all medication, which is like considered a miracle, but off all medications, and a blood sugar less than 100.
Can it be some of the diet, Gabriel, that, a lot of people I know, they don't want. I have a guy that drives me around, and he's a diabetic. He has to give himself insulin at night, and he takes this medication, but he doesn't watch what he consumes.
It's all about diet.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I'd shake him. I want to, he's a big guy. I want to shake him. I mean, I'm little, 100-some pounds and 5'2". And I said, listen, Chris, you got to get with the program here. This is not good. He said, I know. He said, I need somebody at me all the time about it. I said, well, come on. This is your life. This is your life. How are you going to continue to do good? Drive me around. I pay him, but you know what I'm saying? We were laughing. I said, it's not funny. It's not funny. If you, you know, Gabriel, if you can just change how you consume food and it's going to make you better, why wouldn't you do that? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't get it at all.
The key to healing, and again, it came up, comes up all the time in my program. So I do natural healing, and diet's a big part of it. The key for healing diabetes, you got to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love yourself enough to want to heal. When you love yourself, you get motivated to do the right thing.
You do.
That's the key concept. And, but you got to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself. Now, in our programs, that's where I really focus on. The second thing I focus on, and it makes a big difference to people, is helping people reconnect to their soul. Because when you reconnect to your soul, you begin to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself. And that's part of the work that I really do. You know, people can find out about me at drcousins.co.com, really easy, drcousins.com. But, you know, we have all these programs, but they all point to reconnecting with your soul and loving yourself enough to want to heal yourself. From that, your foundation is going to bring you very good health, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
It all falls into place.
Yes.
But it takes effort. It takes work.
Not really. Yeah. If you love yourself...
Well,
you
it's tough for some people, though. You know, they're just... They just don't believe, Gabriel. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't. I talk about it all the time.
The effort goes away when you really are saying, this is the way of loving myself. How is that effort? Yes, it is effort on the outer plane, but the inner plane, you're just in alignment and you're flowing with what you should be doing.
Yeah.
You're loving yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, on the outer plane, it takes effort. Okay, that's fine. But that's not the point. Look at the loving yourself, then the inner motivation comes. And it's pretty easy.
How do you get people to do that?
Well,
when you work with them?
In my programs, we have people meditate. We have a way of kind of awakening the spiritual energy. And we focus on people reconnecting with their soul. We verbalize it. Okay, plus people get better pretty quickly when there's a little bit of what I call spiritual fasting, green juice fasting, and meditating together. So it's a little bit more in kind of more of an intensive effort, I'll put it that way. And people, the breakthrough happens. That's how that happens. It's like, hey, this feels good. Eventually, when you get in touch with how good you feel, okay, we're not talking psychological. That is also true. But your general well-being is enhanced, then it's like worth doing.
That must be very rewarding to you.
It is nice to see that. It is nice.
I mean, when you see... it happening for people. I mean, some might take a little longer, but they don't give up. They, you know, I don't really know what I do. I do something, I guess. I do something. I can tell you from what we talked before we went on the air, things that have happened to me. I had a visitation, a real one, when I almost died. But it took years. I mean, I had to get through some other things before. I mean, I really have never really worked on it. I just care. I care an awful lot, and probably too much, but that's okay. I don't mind. I love myself. I look at myself and I'll say, I love you, Natalie. What you're doing is great. Keep it up. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that's how I am. I don't know.
You have to love yourself and heal yourself. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yep. I mean, you know, people say to me, well, why do you do this and why do you do that? Because I love it so much, because it makes me feel good. It's my purpose. I have a purpose. And when you have a purpose, nothing will stop you. Nothing's going to stop me. I mean, I'm just, I'm just like this little force here. But anyways, let's get back to where you live. And you were telling me before that you have visited everything in Jerusalem. Now, do you live right in the city?
Well, I mean, there's not exactly, okay? But the point is, it's not just Jerusalem, all of Israel. This is a very small place.
Yeah.
Okay? So when I said that I went to the Sea of Galilee and went to where the Sermon on the Mount was, I went to the Dead Sea, and went in the Dead Sea and also went in the River Jordan, where Jesus took his initiation with John the Baptist. That's an hour away from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Nothing. So you got to think differently. I mean, put it that way. And everything is close. But if that makes sense.
Did visiting any of these places make you feel different? Give you more of a connection? I'm just curious.
They have the energy. There's a certain spiritual energy. That's the unique thing about Israel. General and about the Temple Mount and about all these locations.
You feel that energy there, right?
Oh, yes. Oh. And not just me, but other people as well.
How awesome is that? I want to go there. Yeah. I do. So talk about your latest book. Now, I have a bunch of listings here. You've also done, you did the Rainbow Green Life food cuisine, spiritual nutrition. I mean, there's tons of things you've done. I don't know how anyone, I do know because of you, because I think you're just probably very unusual and very special, can sit down and write all this. You have to be,
writing was favorite thing, and I never expected ever to write a book. But when God speaks to you, you got to pay attention, that's all. That's how it's done.
That's true. That's true, because I get little things, I talk to God every day, but sometimes something, Gabriel, you're going to laugh. It's not always really nice. It's like a dissertation. I'll say, well, now what did you call that? What was behind that? I mean, like I'm actually talking to him, but I know he listens. And I say this many times, with God, anything is possible. Don't ever close a door. But I get little insights sometimes just with what I do. I'll sit and I'll think about, how can I advance my business? What can I do? What can I do for me? I have a fairy tale that is in my head. I've written some of it, and I want my granddaughter to do the illustrations. Well, listen to this one. We have something called SCAD here. It's a special school in Savannah, which is like 15 minutes from me. They do all kinds of art, digital, all that kind of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, and I've been trying to get them to apply to this school. She's very talented. I know she'll get in. It's just a matter of paying for it. I said to my son, don't worry about that. Just let's you know, she is very gifted. So listen, yeah, I'm thinking to myself here, okay, well, you're probably going to have to write something down about yourself. Well, you can say that you're working on doing the illustrations for a book that your grandmother is writing. Now, I really need her. I mean, I just don't want to get anybody to do it. See, mine is a little different than yours. Yours is, you're speaking to the volumes. I'm just trying to get people to believe in things they cannot see, that they really are there. That's what I want to do. I want to make you believe. I want you to read something that's going to make you feel, wow. And this is true, because it's going to be about me. It's about me. I want you to believe this, and then maybe it'll help you on your path. It can be for anybody of all ages, 10, 11-year-old, whatever you are. You're never too old to learn. And so that was a little hint that I got yesterday. And then my son sends me a text. He says, well, guess where Jada's going to apply? And I wrote down SCAD. He said, yep, because she said if she had her choice, that's where she would want to go. But it's really costly per year. I said, there's scholarships. She's got like a 5.0. She's just, you know what I'm saying? But the thing of it is, too, is that don't worry so much about the money. Just follow what's inside, right? Right, Gabriel?
Absolutely.
It'll come. And he said, well, how can you be so sure? I said, well, I just am. I said, you know, she's very much like I am. She doesn't admit it to anybody but me, but she is. And I'm so grateful. He's like me, but he's not my only child. He's like me, but he still has doubts. As most people do, I think. I don't know. I think we're in a special sphere as far as I'm concerned, because people just do not, I don't know. I don't know how you get to be how you are, really. Do you get hit on the head with something, or you go walk through this, across this road, and all of a sudden you've got it all? Nah, I don't think so. I think it builds over time. I think from when you're little and you grow up, like you and me, I think you work with it more and more if it's there, but you have to start someplace, and usually people like to start with somebody like you because you have all the training. You know what to do with people. Okay, so what is your latest book? Let's talk about that.
Well, Into the Nothing is my spiritual autobiography.
Oh, okay.
And it really speaks, I talk about when I was young, I talk about, you know, nearly dying from TB. I talk about meeting spiritual teachers. I talk about literally playing football and how that helped me grow spiritually. I kind of say everything I ever learned from life was from meditating, sacred relationships, and playing football. Now, most people think, what are you talking about? But really playing football, the way I played it, it takes you beyond your limitations. And when you go beyond your limitations, you move into a place of inner ecstasy. And so that became a source at a very early age of spiritual experiences.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, football season's over. What do I do next? And then I took up meditating. Do you see what I mean? So, but the inner experience initially happened, besides the experience I had and visions I had as a young child and at 8 years old, you know, being visited by Essenes and so forth, it really, the inner experience is what then guides you. And that started with the inner experiences of playing football and going beyond myself. And then once you are tuned in, there's a certain amount of level of inner power that begins to develop. So when I was mid-1980s, I had an abdominal operation without using anesthetic. How do you do that? Well, when you normally meditate, you get to a place where you don't feel anything in your body. Your senses disappear as you go on to higher levels of awareness during meditation. So that was easy. I just went in, began meditating, and stay conscious throughout the whole operation. And it was a little hard for the doctor to get, to understand, but he did get it. And everything's fine. Well, that's not something you just start with. I'm meditating, I'm used to playing football, taking kind of physical risks. It prepared me, if you see what I'm saying. And going beyond yourself. And that's really how I started learning about Into the Nothing, is I, not just playing football, but really meditating, you get to a place where you, the personality dissolves, and there's only God. There's nothing left. And the Torah teaches that...
So tell me something. So, okay, so you, what the whole thing of it is that you, I will use me as an example. I try not to think too much about issues that are going on. I have a difficult time with thinking about the world. I mean, I really do. I mean, I have to turn that off because I don't want it to stall me or hold me back because I know
right.
I have things to do. I can't, and I can't fix the world. I wish I could. I keep telling God, give me the magic wand, I'll do it, but I can't, okay? So, you know, you have to put that aside, and you have to know what your purpose is, and my purpose, part of it, is doing this show and bringing on beautiful people like yourself so that others can listen and from, you know, all walks of life, and maybe they'll be encouraged by listening to you, whoever it is. But I've been doing this a long time. And my magazine, I'm going to tell you, Gabriel, that magazine, I go sitting up on a cloud. I put my headphones on. I am good to go. I, and you know why? Because I'm bringing out all the people from all over the world, all the authors. I know so many people, and that has to be a blessing in itself. And I recognize that. I know. So I got the job because I was the best to do it, and I accepted it, and I'm doing it. And yeah. But it's a purpose. It's my purpose. It's just, you know, you've got to, but you've got to listen, don't you? Don't you think you have to listen?
Yeah. I mean, you have to not only listen, but act in what you've been told. And then one of the things about my book from the very beginning is exactly listening to God. And every time I do, then that was the right direction. So from the age of 4 years old, want to be a doctor,
right.
Age of eight, age, every time I would get the word, I would follow it. So to me, listening to God is very, very primary. And then the idea that, well, in my book, Into Nothing, it's a spiritual adventure, but it's my life, and it's meant to inspire.
Give me the name. I don't mean to interrupt you, but give me the name of it again.
Into the Nothing.
Into what?
In the Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Into the Nothing.
Oh, just Nothing? That's the name of it?
Right. Into the Nothing.
Oh, Into the Nothing. Oh, duh. Okay. Gosh. Okay.
It really comes from meditation experiences where you go so deep that you as a personality, as an ego, dissolves and you're in the nothing. And there's only God. And that was the experiences I began having really at the, I would tell you, you know, over 50 years ago. Okay, and so that is what motivated me as I began having the experience of meditation, playing football, and the different things that happened. That was the big meditation, the ecstasy of moving into the nothing in daily life, into meditation. And in my book, I describe kind of being guided in a different way. So if we see life as a spiritual adventure, it changes how we see it, how we experience
it. I see the book on Amazon and how fitting, and you're sitting in the yoga position. I can do that. I took yoga once. As a matter of fact, I was pretty good at it, and my three girlfriends didn't like it because I, you know, I went into a level, you know what I mean. She was talking, and I just went off. I mean, I was in that state. They just did not like, they didn't want to do it again. I took it again, but they just didn't want to because I could hear everything, but I wasn't reacting. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
Of course.
But it's... it's a great thing to do, but your book, I must get this. I must get this because it's and you're in the clouds. How beautiful, perfect, just perfect. So now this book is done. Now what's next? What's on your agenda now? What are you doing right now?
Well, right now I'm focusing on being in Israel and teaching. Life has changed for a lot of people, right? With the lockdowns and this and that kind of thing. So I do a lot of work supporting people around the world and helping people if they have difficulties from physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. So I that's what I'm doing. And it's pretty busy. The other thing I'm doing is it takes a while to really integrate into Israel. So that's part of the path. And basically, my wife and I are a little bit on a perpetual honeymoon since we kind of came here because it takes so much energy and we spend a lot of time together as we're doing our getting set up. That's what I'm doing, but sharing with the world, with interviews, lots of interviews, but I have my own teachings and programs and so forth. So it keeps me pretty busy.
Keeps you very busy. Now, do you have any children?
I have two children and three grandchildren.
You have grandchildren. Okay, so now the children, what do they think of their parents doing this? Must be thrilled. They must be honored. I can't imagine them not being.
I'm pretty close with my children. And even now, I mean, they're in their 50s. Even now, we talk every few days or once a week. We just really love each other. And to me, that's the important thing.
Now, are they there with you, your family with you, or no?
No, they're in New York and in Northern California.
Okay. Well, my gal who does the marketing, she said... she has a question here. She says, how old were you when you started having children? Were you older? Well, I can tell you right now how old he was. He was probably in his 20s, right?
Yeah, about 24.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know why she wanted to ask that, but she did. But yeah, and she wanted to remind me that this is season 6, episode 204. Can you imagine that one? But anyways, okay. So... Now, does your wife do these workshops and things with you, or does she her own thing?
So we share some of the workshops. She's also a yoga teacher, a tree yoga teacher. And
yeah,
so
the
I
lotus position, yeah. Oh, God, I love doing that. That is a way of calming you. I mean, if you allow it to, it really does. Now, I have another question. And this was written by the gal who does this little synopsis for me on my authors. How do you handle all the various cultural traditions? One by one?
Let me kind of answer it this way. I have taught in 42 different countries. And I have programs in 26 different nations. So I'm exposed to a lot of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned is there's a universal thing, and that's the universal language. It's called love, and it's called making the heart connection. And when that's made, everything goes into order.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I approach my international work, is make that real connection with people at the heart level, and then if you have trouble translating, it doesn't matter. People know the intention is good.
So a lot of your students come from other countries, or a lot of them there?
A certain amount are here, but a lot of people are in the United States, and again, people from 128 different nations.
Okay. Wow.
And I work with people, you know, I do holistic health workups and individual health workups, because the whole idea is to get people in optimal health. That takes my style a little different. I don't see them for 5 minutes. I see people for 2.5 hours, and we really go into things in depth. You can do it over the internet. It's obviously a bit easier in person.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So my work is very much in depth. And rather than a 10-minute or 15-minute visit, so it's a different thing. So people who are really interested in their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health, those are the ones who are attracted to the kind of work that I do. That's how that works. So people call, I work with people from all over. So even with all that's going on with lockdowns, it doesn't matter. Still seeing people over the Zoom.
Well, look how I've connected with you, and look where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. But for some people that are not used to working from home, I am. Although I worked in facilities before, I mean, I always went out. I find it comfortable. This is my, I don't know what I want to call it. I don't want to call it my heaven, but it's my place where I feel really good. When I go out, doesn't matter I order my groceries now. I don't even go out. But I mean, when I do go out, if I go to lunch with my girlfriend, or I'm always happy to come home. I of course my cat is here, that's one reason, but there's just a feeling in this house that I really love. And
it's got your energy and you're liking that, and that's really, really important. You like where you are. It's very important.
Yeah. Somebody called me a recluse. I said, well, I can go out. A recluse means that you don't go out for anything. You just don't. But I do. I mean, I enjoy it, but I'm always, I kind of take a deep breath and say, I'm home. And it is a very spiritual place, because I've had things come here, I've heard things, and it's my energy, all of it now. I mean, my husband's been gone 9 years, and it's all my energy. And I think I learned a lot from this gal years ago. She taught me about, all her modalities that she does. I mean, she's Reiki. She does all of that. But she taught me an awful lot when I did not have any of that basic knowledge. And she, I always told her, she said, well, I know I was sent to you. And I said, well, how do you know that? She said, because you have this thirst you want to know everything, and you do it so well. And I said, well, I'm certainly trying. I mean, I don't even try. I mean, I just do it. It's not funny. But, I mean, I love to do things. I mean, I really do. But I like to be home. I like to be here. I have 3 big monitors. I have my computer, my keyboard, my tower, my cat. I have everything that I need. I feed the deer. You would love this. I feed the deer at night. I watch all these little pets. I have some kind of little hermit crabs right now. I'm watching for my friend. But, I mean, I'm like this little, it's like a little farm here. and I love it. And the deer, oh, my gosh. I don't really get a glimpse of them, Gabriel. I put apples on their food, and they're so sweet. They come and eat all the apples, and they leave the food, the pellets, that has blueberries and all kinds of good stuff in it. And then they come back, but I see them, but not very often. And, I'll I'll look out the window and I'll say to them, gee, I wish I could just get another glimpse of you. I've even put the food on the porch when it's raining so they don't get wet. And they come on the porch, they'll take it, but I miss them every time. And I think to myself, you're missing them because you're supposed to miss them. You're not supposed to, you don't have to see them to know that they're there, to know that they're coming. And what I'm doing for them, and my one friend said to me, well, do you peel the apples? No, I don't peel the apples. I mean, I love life, Gabriel. I really do. And I appreciate it all. And
that is the important thing, to love life and love yourself. Everything's good after that. Loving God. That's right.
That's right. And the buck stops with him. It's all with God to me. That's it. And don't tell me it's not possible. Don't tell me that, because I don't believe you. I know it's possible.
Well, of course it's possible. That's all we've been talking about. And that's part of why Into the Nothing kind of speaks about that as a way of life.
Yeah.
Not as a religion, but as a way of life, which is a religion in a certain way. But it's kind of experiencing the sacredness of God in all that you do. That's what makes things really fun at whatever age.
Right. That's true. That's true. I didn't start, my granddaughter thinks I can do anything. Graham can do it. She can do it. I said, yeah, but I can't skate and I can't swim. I said, but anything else, I think, really, Gabriel, I can do it. But that's how this is all from within me. I mean, it's not anything that was learned. I had nothing to do with my parents, has nothing to do with any of that. But I'm just a very strong believer. I really, really am. And I think that really helps to guide you, because then you're open to things that come to you and you recognize them, right? You say, oh, okay, I never thought of that. I think I should try that, right?
Exactly. Very much. It's very good. You're saying really good things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am. And I am just so grateful you came on the show. I was telling one of the gals, I said, God, this is like the perfect day for him with all the turmoil all over. And I just think it's going to be okay. I really do.
Well, it's already okay. It's how we perceive it. It's trials that we're going through, but it's always okay because God's always with us. We just have to know who we are and not focus on the outer world, because people then get all upset. So we focus on the inner world, take care of that, and then the outer world still comes into some level of order. And this is definitely a test, maybe more so in the United States than in other
places. Yes, you're right. I've said that before. This is a test. This is a test that I've always felt that the world is kind of like tipped. And I saw a picture of the world, and somebody had tipped it, and I thought to myself, well, okay. Because what it is that, and you probably will agree, is that too many think about the money. What can I make? Not what can I do, but how much can I make from it? And it's a learned thing. It's going to be a learned thing. These people are going to have they're going to have lessons that they just have to go through. That's it. And I think that it's God decided, okay, so it's all about the money. Well, I'm going to fix it. So it's not. It's going to be about how you love people, how you love yourself, what you can do for others, be kind, be good. I'm good to everybody. I mean, there is a point. I mean, you can't steal money from me, because then I kind of go off the deep end, because everybody works hard for their money. It doesn't happen to me. It just doesn't. But I'm just saying mostly I don't, I love everything that I do. I'm looking to do more, actually. I want to do more. Can you imagine? More in my day, Gabriel. I got to do more in my day. But I'm going to tell you something. If I ever get there, I'm going to contact you and let you know. Because you're going to take me to see what I've always wanted to see. I always wanted to walk the path that Jesus did. Now, does that still exist?
Yes.
Oh, my, my, my. beautiful. Yeah, I had some, I don't know if it was, I saw it in my head or whatever that I was there. And because of my personality, because of the inner strength that I have, I was gathering everybody to stop what was going on. And he said to me, stop what you're doing. You're going to end up dying because of this, and that's not what it's about. Just let it go. It's about let me do what I know I'm supposed to do. So I had to turn around. I walked up. I had to turn around because I was gathering all these people to stop what was going on. That's no joke. That's, I have such an affinity to it. I one day I'm really hoping that I'll get there and you'll get a call. Gabriel, it's Natalie. I'm here.
You know, we don't know what's going on in the world, but I would do it sooner than later.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it's pretty costly.
One of the things we do, and this is because it's such a difficult time, I have a community called Tree of Life.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, and basically we have a lot of support groups. I have regular programs, programs on nutrition, programs on spiritual life, and a variety of other things. And it's there, it's designed for people to get support. Because this is a really hard time for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so any way we can provide support, and, you know, we have chat rooms for people and different things. Treeoflife.mn.co, it's a really nice support system, because one of the things that goes on is people really, really do are feeling more and more isolated and separated. And
well,
that's,
I love all that you do, and I'm very grateful that you found your way to help all of these people that so desperately need help. They need, it's kind of like walking down a road and you fall in a ditch. Well, you got to pick them up out of these ditch, out of the ditches. Or there's roadblocks. There's big, huge rocks. Well, walk around them. Do something. Just, you know, I'm a little force, aren't I? I just love this. I love talking to you, and I'm so happy you came on my show. And many blessings to you. You're a great man. And I will send a really nice note to Missy Hadfield. She's the one that really set this up. She contacted me about having you on the show, and I really didn't think I could get you to do this. But gosh, I'm so happy. Thank you.
Good. I'm pleased to be on it. I want to bless you, all your listeners, that our hearts open to God and everything we do, and really begin enjoying life no matter what's going on in the outer world. That's the secret.
Yeah, and I thank you for that. Yeah, I do. Okay, well, it's evening there, right?
It's about 9 o'clock at night.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a good evening, whatever is left, and thank you again. And this has been recorded, and so it'll go up on the show page, and then Candy, the gal that's in the chat room, she'll push it out. I'll tweet it, and we'll see. All these people will be, and I put a little note there usually about the show that they really should listen to this. It will be very inspirational coming from you.
Great.
So, I thank you.
You know, it's really easy. They want to go further.
Right. Yes, exactly. And you take care. And hopefully I can be in touch with you again. Okay?
Okay. Blessings to you.
And to you.
And
to you. Much love to you and your lovely wife. Yes. Okay, everybody. I know you enjoyed this, and I want everybody to know what an honor it was for me to have Gabriel on here. You can go to his treeoflife.nu. You can go see his book, which is on Amazon, which is Into the Nothing. I'll put that in the bookstore. And you can also go to, it looks like to me, he's merged with drcousinsglobal.com. You can see all the books there. all the things. But he's got, you know, he's got a lot of stuff here. So make sure when you look at the show page, you can see all the things that Candy has posted. They're all really good. And much love to all of you. And, you know, as I always end the show, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I will say goodbye, and I will be back on air Friday from 2 to 3. I have another guest. It's nonstop for me, isn't it? No, but I love it. I really, really do. So with that, we're going to close the show, and thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Be safe. Listen to what the your constituents are saying. You're hopefully they're giving you the right things to do. It's getting a little tough here again in the United States. And please, just believe in yourself and love yourself. That's all you can do. You can't fix the world. So with that, I'm going to say bye. Thank you, Candy. I love you.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off the shoulder.
Bye-bye. I love you.
Love you.